1, we'll just read the whole portion together, please. A few big long words. So if I start coughing and spluttering, I'm just moving on to the next word. But we'll try to get through. It's a beautiful portion of Scripture. And do focus on the reading as we read through. There are many, many practical lessons for the child of God this morning found in this chapter of Daniel, chapter 1. The Word of God says in the first verse of Daniel chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, on whom they might teach their learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of thereof they might stand before the king. Among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, to Hananiah of Shadrach, to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who have appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse, liking than to children which are of your sort? And shall ye make me endanger my head to the king? Then sent Daniel to Melchizedek, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So we consented to them in this matter and proved in 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melchizedek took away the portion of their meat, the wine which they should drink, and give them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of the king Cyrus. Amen. We know the Lord and loved of God. Now Daniel is a book in the Bible that many people tend to shy away from. We must remember, of course, that the Lord Jesus himself spoke of Daniel, the prophet, in Matthew 24, verse 15. And the 12, Daniel is summed up in 12 chapters. Easy, I suppose, to read, but they are by no means easy to understand. They contain dreams and visions, all of which refer to the unfolding of history and to the closing events of the age. Now, I'm not going to speak on that this morning. I like to find good practical devotional helps whenever I search the Scriptures to keep me going from day to day in the Christian life as we battle to reach children and young people for the Lord Jesus. And Daniel is a wonderful example of a man loved of God and a man who loved God every day that the Lord gave him. Now, many of these prophecies we've been reading about and on into Daniel have already been fulfilled. And when the Lord Jesus, of course, comes back again, the remaining will find their fulfillment. But the primary objective this morning, as we seek to study a little bit of the life and ministry of Daniel and the wonderful events concerning his life that were both challenging to him and to his friends, and the long service of life that he lived for the Lord, I want to relate this to our hearts this morning and draw parallels and lessons to each and every one of us today. Now, Daniel three times is described as the man greatly beloved. Turn over to Daniel chapter 9, for example. Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. Daniel 9, verse 23. It says, at the beginning of my supplications, the commandment came forth, and I come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. Also chapter 10, verse 11, says there, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the works that I speak unto thee. Imagine the Lord would speak to us the same way this morning. O Christian, thou greatly beloved, understand the words that I will speak unto thee. Verse 19 also of chapter 10 repeats itself again on how many times the Lord wants to tell his children, I love you, many times over. Verse 19, and he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And then it goes on to say how the Lord strengthened Daniel. What a wonderful encouragement. If we were to go no further, the Lord says to his children, fear not, don't be afraid. And the Lord says, be strong. Be strong and do exploits. Now, as we think about this morning, Daniel, if we can sum up his life quickly, in the beginning of this first chapter, he was a man of fine character with an unblemished record. And if this fact discourages us, let us remember that Daniel's God is our God today. God changes not. From the beginning right to the end, God changes not. In Daniel chapter 1, we want to notice several things. Notice, first of all, the kind of person or the kind of man that Daniel was. Verses 3 and 4 tells us this. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, and that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children on whom was no blemish, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. Here was a brief description. Daniel was an Israelite. I would imagine he's about 18 years of age, whenever Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah, about 600 years before Christ. Daniel was captured and then deported to the fabulous city of Babylon, probably the most most beautiful city in all the world. I prefer to, children, I can break these up really small, but those big words, I can't get them. Magnificent, I can't say that word. Another picture of Coleraine we find here. A beautiful city. Now, Daniel was of royal descent. We read about that. We could probably imagine he was a handsome man, a man of culture. I feel like as if I'm describing myself here. A man of culture with outstanding intelligence. Daniel was a brilliant man. He was a brilliant, brilliant man. Very intelligent. He was switched on. Of course, because of these qualities, King Nebuchadnezzar chose him and gave orders that he should be trained in all the language and all the literature of the Chaldeans. The end of verse 4 we were reading. If you like, he was a Jew among the Gentiles, living in an alien land, a believer among unbelievers. Picture Daniel, a picture of a Christian among all these heathen people. That could be a picture of you. The Lord has placed you in school. The Lord has placed you in your workplace. the Lord has placed you in your housing development. One Christian among all these other people. What do? You shout away in your home and keep your blinds closed and peep out. On Sunday morning, nip into the car, to prayer meeting, nip into your car, go to church. Are you daring to be a Daniel? Daring to stand alone and not worrying what other people think of you as a Christian? Here he was living in an alien land, believer amongst unbelievers, and God had a great work to do through Daniel for the next 70 or 80 years. So that's your life. Right from this moment on, this date in July 2006, the Lord has so many years for you to live. I wonder how are you going to be used for the Lord in those years. Of course, it was a terrible experience for Daniel to be deported 1,000 miles to Babylon. There's many people the Lord brought from their own country, their own family, and took them away, many miles away, and used them for his glory. What about the little maid, the little girl? Remember the time of Elisha, the time of Naaman? And she stood up because she knew her God and said, you should go to the river. Go and speak to God's servant and he will heal you. And sometimes we're away from home, away from family. And God must do that sometimes to strengthen us in our walk with God and to draw us closer to himself. Terrible experience, but the Lord brought it for good. That was the type of man that Daniel was. Notice here the kind of food that he ate. And I love this here in verses 5 and 8. We read about food. I love food, by the way. God has given all this wonderful food, and I love it. And I was on a diet for a long time, and I lost a stone. And I was telling our brother John, and every time he phones me, are you still on your diet? And I said, the next time I come to Coleraine, I'll be off my diet. And if I come to your house, you better start me on a diet. And here, Daniel, the kind of food he ate, he was on a diet, if you like, because Daniel was put on a 3 years course of training. And by this special decree of the king, he was to have special food and wine from the king's table to nourish him. Imagine the sort of food you would get sitting at a king's table. Lovely, lovely food, the best of everything. And you love to just spend most of your time around the table. But Daniel didn't care whose house he was in, whose table he was at. Daniel had principles, had morals, had standards, and he was not going to compromise them. Daniel refused to eat this food. Why? Because, of course, it had been dedicated to him by some heathen deity and was therefore abhorrent and defiling to a godly Jew. This is the type of person Daniel was. Instead, he chose to eat only vegetables. Now, he was determined to live, if you like, a separated life and not to compromise in the slightest degree. Now, there's a lesson here. Turn over to 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. A portion familiar with many of us whenever we think about separation. But there are many different types of, there's many practical types of separation this morning for the child of God. Look at verse 14, talking about marriage, about relationships. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? That's for the Christian, not only in relationship, all types of relationship. Business relationships, physical relationships. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And that's for the Christian. Remember, we are the temple of the living God. We're bought with a price. We are no longer our own. As God hath said, I dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive ye. Speaking, of course, about apostasy here. I love the verse 1 of chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The Christian, of course, is called away from sin to be separated from sin. And as we live our Christian life and all our walks day and daily, sin is abounding everywhere. And it's so easy to be in the company of our workmates. People tell a joke and we laugh at it. And we know in our heart we should not be laughing. Something comes on the television and we know We should not be watching it. Yet we're glued into it. We're sucked into it. The phone rings. We can't even answer it because of what we're watching. And that's the challenge for separation. Are you able to turn that over or turn it off? Or do you wait till the end? All of these things, and the list is endless. We challenge our young people to do this, our children to do this. But men and women, we need to set the example at home. Turn it over, or even better still, turn it off. Daniel was not afraid to do that. I'll notice also in verses 6 and 7, the kind of friends or the kind of companions that Daniel chose. And men and women, it's always good to have good friends. Even if they be few, make sure they're good friends. Pray for good friends for your children. Good friends they can trust, they can walk with, they can pray with. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were three Hebrews. They've been captured, brought to Babylon with Daniel. And directly they were all set to work in what you could call the University of Babylon. Now their names here were changed. Daniel, meaning the Lord is judge, became Belshazzar. Hananiah, meaning the Lord is gracious, became Shadrach. And Mishael, meaning who is like God, became Meshach. And Azariah, meaning the Lord is a helper, became Abednego. And what a wonderful thing it is for Christians, young Christians, whenever they are away from home, to be often surrounded by temptations. My heart goes out to our young people and children who leave these shores across to the mainland, to England and to Scotland. I had one younger brother. He was walking well with God and he went to Stirling in Scotland. And he's as far away today as ever. And why is it many people give their testimony, get saved as a child, and then I went away every time. It doesn't have to be like that. We pray that children will get saved and they will go on with God. Wednesday morning at that little club this week, a little girl came up and she ran over she was the second person there. She said, I've something to tell you. I said, what is it? She said, last night I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart. A wee girl, I think she's only 9. And she never hardly left my side on the Wednesday and the Thursday and Friday. At the barbecue, I was standing over at the edge and everyone was queuing up for a burger. But 200 people, and I thought, it's going to take me an hour to get there. And this wee girl came over and you know what she said? Would you like a burger? Just like that. And I said, yeah, I'm dead right, I would like two. And I said, listen, don't you queue up. You make yourself special and go to the front of the queue. Tell them I sent you. And she came running over and she wanted to be a wee servant. Everything I was going to do, she wanted to help. To hold up the courses during the night, all the parents were there. Just holding up the courses, helping whatever way she could. And she wanted to tell her friends about Jesus. There was another wee girl. The same day, she also said, listen, I've asked the Lord Jesus into my heart. I get saved. That's the word she used, saved. And on Thursday morning, I looked for her and couldn't find her. On a Friday, she never came either. I found out what happened. She went home and told her mommy she'd get saved. And her mommy never let her come back to those meetings. That's why we need to pray for our young people, for our children. Whenever they leave their home and come into new environments and new families, we need to pray that God will give them friends to keep them strong. God will not only save, but God will keep. And I think of many young people even come to Cold Rain. If they're looking for a church, they're looking for a place to worship. We need to find those young people. We need to nourish them. We need to love them. Need to encourage them. Daniel and his friends were away from home. You know what they done? They stuck together. And the question of dedication to God and separation from evil, these four men joined together and refused to do what they were told to do. They refused to compromise. Many young people today compromise everything they've been taught up with. Many parents compromise today. And God has given us so much in His Word. And the challenge for our people today is not to compromise our faith, not to compromise our standards, not to compromise God's precious Word. Whenever little children from outside, if you like, the Evangelical Reformed Church trust in the Lord, We need to pray that God will give them friends in school, wherever, that they can grow in grace and even be the means of reaching their parents. Notice also the kind of friend that Daniel found here. Very often in times of testing, we are afraid as Christians to stand out boldly for the Lord. In every walk of life, I'm guilty of it as well. No matter where you are in the town or the street or the shopping centre, wherever you are you afraid to stand out for the Lord boldly? Of course, it may result in her having to ply a lone furrow in serving the Lord. Your friends might not want to come with you, whereas if we had taken our stand for Him, we would have found someone who would help and encourage us. Pray that God will bring Christian friends to your children, and they will be like Daniel and the three friends and bond together. Whenever a person is alone, that's the most difficult time. A breaking point, I believe, is when children go from primary school to high school. That's when many of them fall away because they compromise so easily because they're not strong enough to stand out like Daniel. Pray much for the children that they will be strong in the Lord to get through those waves of first, second, third, fourth, and fifth year in high school. If we take our stand for the Lord, I believe the Lord will help us. The Lord will encourage us. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." I've found out in schools, if my heart's desire is right to reach the children, I come to principals and people who are not Christians, don't even go to church, and yet they let me into the assemblies to sing and do whatever needs be, just the boys and girls at the school assemblies. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, lo here, the prince of the eunuchs, he was not a believer in God. God used him and blessed him to Daniel. Proverbs 21, verse 1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water turneth it whithersoever he will." God is in absolute control, not only of the Christian and the church, but in the affairs of all men, from the lowest to the lowest, right to the king in the palace. Now, Daniel was not the only man. What about Joseph? Joseph and all his brothers, loved by his father greatly, he was captured, taken away to a foreign land. What does it say about Joseph in Genesis 39:2? "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight." What lovely words. When a man takes a stand for God, God will give you peace with men. God is not only sovereign in the lives of his children, but in the lives of worldly people as well. He can turn them whatever way he chooses to do so. Notice also in verses 11 through to 13, a quick summary of this chapter here, the kind of courage that Daniel displayed. Daniel requested that he and his friends might be allowed to eat vegetables for 10 days, at the end of which the prince of the eunuchs could examine them to see whether their health had suffered not. A special strict diet to see if it would affect them. Now, Daniel was a true Nazarite. Now, Daniel would have taken a vow as a Nazarite. Turn over to Numbers chapter 6, please. Numbers chapter 6. Daniel, of course, a true Nazarite, would have taken these vows. Numbers 6, verses 3. Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 6, verse 3. Now, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the fig tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in which he separated himself." This is an example of the type of vow a Nazarite would have taken. And here we have Daniel here. Word of lovely verse of scripture relevant in Colossians 3:16, speaking, reminding us that the word of God which he learned as a boy was dwelling richly in Daniel's heart. He was now 18 or 19 years of age, and he remembered that vow all those years ago. What does Colossians 3:16 say? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing and one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Daniel, he was encouraged to make this daring challenge, to go against the king in order to please the Lord. Now, what was the answer to his request? Verse 14 tells us here in Daniel chapter 1. Verse 14 of Daniel chapter 1. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Daniel was not only challenged the prince of the eunuchs, this was a challenge to God. Would he support and sustain him in this matter? And Daniel, of course, trusted in the Lord, and the Lord graciously undertook for him and his friends. And this leads us to the kind of testimony that Daniel bore. Whenever the challenge comes for you to compromise, how strong is your testimony? Verses 15 and 16 tells us he bore a testimony in his face. There's a wonderful testimony whenever a Christian's face reflects the glory of the Lord. When's the last time you saw someone and you said to them, are you a Christian? I remember I used to work at Marks and Spencer, and this wee woman would come up, and I couldn't help it. I said, excuse me, are you brethren? She goes, why? Well, I said, I couldn't help it. There's a wee bun in your head. And you can tell sometimes by the way people dress or who they are, the type of person they are. But when's the last time you looked at a person, and you could just tell they're a Christian by the very reflection of their face? Now, it's a wonderful testimony when this happens. Moses had this example in Exodus 34:35. The children of Israel saw the face of Moses, and it says the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went to speak with them. What about Stephen in the New Testament? Acts 6:15, all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on Stephen, saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel. Do you have a face that reflects Christ? I often say, whenever I look at someone and they're real cross to me, I say, that person's got a face like a bear. You don't want a face like a bear. You want to be like a magnet that draws sinners to Jesus, encouraging Christians to walk with the Lord. Your life will either reflect or reflect. You'll either attract or distract. You'll either be a stepping stone or a stumbling block. And I pray this morning, as we think of Daniel, the closing moments of this meeting, that God will help us to shape him up and be a wonderful example, even in our very faces, without speaking. Someone once said the best sermon ever preached is a living sermon. A person in tune with God, walking with God, will draw others to the Lord. He also bore a testimony not only in his face, but also in his head. Proverbs 3:17 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, that man that getteth understanding. Notice finally here the kind of God that Daniel served. Verses 17 to the end. Daniel served a God who was overruling in his life. Do you rule your own life this morning? Or are you like Daniel and let the Lord rule your life? God gave them knowledge in verse 17. And then in verses 18 to 20 tells us and teaches us, it refers to a period 3 years later. And Daniel, the Lord, God had caused the official to show Daniel favor. It was God who did it, not Daniel. God through Daniel. It is always good to acknowledge the Lord in every detail of your life. When is the last time you said, thank you, Lord? When's the last time you've done something and you felt good about it and you give all the glory to the Lord? It's okay to give yourself a pat on the back. I do that sometimes because nobody else does. But joking aside, it's always good to acknowledge the Lord. When you woke up this morning, had your 2 feet to land on the floor, did you say, thank you, Lord, for letting me land safely? There's many people in their beds and have to wait till somebody lifts them out of bed. Many people put 1 foot in the floor and the other one never arrives because they don't have one. This country is full of sick people, full of young people who are disabled, young people who don't have the energy and the strength that we all have this morning. You take that for granted. Last weekend, 4 young people cast into eternity in their prime of life. Pray much for your children that God will watch over them and they will be thankful to the Lord in everything that God does for them. He served a God who was overruling in his life. He served a God who honored his servant's faithfulness. Samuel and Matthew 6 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think of the wee words joy, J-O-Y, Jesus first, all others second, yourselves last. He served a God who sustained him through his long life. This is the final part. Daniel, through his 60, 70 years of life, continued to serve the Lord. He just didn't start. He started and kept going. It's like a running race. I used to run and used to represent my school. And all these ones beside me used to took off. And I said, they've got it wrong. But 200 meters long a track, they got a stitch. And there's me just past them. Got the pace right. And many times, my dad used to come and watch me running. And he was my motivation for often winning those races. But whenever I became a Christian, that changed. Because now I no longer look to my dad in the same way. Because now I look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Run the Christian race well. Be like Daniel. Don't stop. Never say you're too old. Every time I come across Mr. Smith, he always says, I'm getting too old. I said, you can't help the way you look, but just keep plodding on. Don't go stopping for nobody. The Lord will stop in his perfect time and start you all over again. He'll give you a new engine, a new everything. But until that day comes, you keep walking and running as fast as you possibly can, because the time is so short. People are perishing too quickly. Daniel was faithful to the Lord all of his life. It was God who enabled him to continue through this long time. And the Lord was able to keep him. And the Lord is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Paul said in the final words in Acts 26, having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day. You cannot do it alone, but you can do it through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say, witnessing to small and to great. Daniel is a wonderful book. Read it. He was a man sold out for God. Nothing was going to stop him. Nobody was going to stop him. And you pray, Lord, make me a Daniel. And if you're a woman, Lord, you pray, Lord, make me a Danielle. Doesn't matter, Daniel or Danielle, be like them and be sold out for the Lord. What a wonderful joy it is to be a Christian. You're in the meeting this morning, you're not saved. Boy, you're missing out on the greatest thing, the greatest blessing of being a Christian and living every day for Jesus. I recommend you come to him, because if you don't, you're going to an awful place called hell. And that's a fact. That's reality. You're backslidden, you're cold at heart. Don't sit there miserable. It's like sitting and drinking old cold tea. Pour it out and come and get a new pot. The Lord will give you a new heart, give you a new seed, a new vision for living for the Lord Jesus. Let's pray, then we'll sing a closing hymn. Father, Word, well, thank you for the life of